You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
To our most honorable pastor, Pastor Charles Twyman, in his absence. So thankful that the Lord blessed him to be in the register's lives. We have a great and wonderful pastor, a lover of God's word and people. We thank God for him. We are praying for him that the Lord will bless him with a safe journey, him and his family, safe journey home. Amen. To all the ministers that are present, and to the deacons, and to all the saints of God, our guests and visitors, I greet you in the matchless name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We are so thankful to God for blessing us one more time to assemble ourselves together and to be in the worship service once again. Oh, I have an old saying that I live from the Sunday school Bible class handbook. It's a workbook. And in that book it said that there is no finer company to be in than in the company of the saints. The company of the saints. And so I'm so thankful for this privilege and opportunity to worship with you once again. Lord, bless me with a powerful sermon here. There is a word from the Lord. I'm going to invite your attention to the gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke, the 9th chapter. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right. I want to read these 11 verses here, beginning at verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man, listen, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Listen, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Listen at this. Please get this verse. Verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We lift our theme from that last verse. No man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit, suitable, available. Lord Jesus, ready for the kingdom of God. If you listen to those last five verses, you saw Jesus demonstrate how important it is to be ready and equipped for kingdom service. So our theme is turning back is not an option. Say that to you again. Turning back is not an option. When it comes to kingdom work, when it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to you and I being ministers or ministering for the cause of Christ, it is not a choice. I'm gonna let that resonate for you. It's not a choice. Jesus make this imperative. It is a command, a divine command for all of us to understand. Don't turn back. Worshiping God is progressive. Worshiping God is always advancing the kingdom of God. We don't serve a God that is regressive. There's nothing about God and his kingdom that denotes regression. So in that last verse, no man having taken his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It caused me to reflect upon my life. Listen, if you're turning back, you're saying, I'm going back to where I started. And there's a song that the choir sang that moves me, and I jump to my feet. I get to shouting, and I thank God about the magnificent change he made in my life. Watch out, Reverend Register. I don't want to go back where I come from. I don't want to go back to the old neighborhood. I don't want to have anything to do with Clifford. Nickname Slick. and the life I used to live. However, when we look at the Word of God, come on, Reverend, when we look at the Word of God and we think about where God has brought us from, it's all right to reflect. It's all right. The Scripture tells you to remember certain things. But it's a difference when you are remembering. It's a difference when you take time to reflect. But if I'm looking back, I certainly cannot go forward. Turning back. Yes, yes. Luke, yes, was a Greek physician and a Gentile Christian. He is the only known Gentile author in the New Testament. He was a close friend and companion of Paul. And let me sidebar for just a minute here. I want to thank God for the message this morning, Reverend Minor. Let the Lord use him. He touched my soul with a powerful message, talking about what we do with our thorns. Preached a powerful message. Thank God for him. When I got to Paul, I thought about that. He preached from Corinthians and dealing with that. We all have thorns. Watch out, Reverend Richard. We all have challenges that we deal with in life. But what I notice about the church, Christians, we have a tendency when we are dealing with the challenges that we are facing. We have a tendency to want to regress. Go back. We stay home when we should, yes. Run to the house of God. I need the prayers. Watch it, Reverend Register. Yes, yes, yes. I need the prayers of the saints. My help coming from the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Watch it now. You see, Luke, he wrote Acts. And this book we're looking at, to present an accurate account of the life of Christ and to present Christ as the perfect man, the whole complete man in the flesh and the Savior. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Yes. But in this section of Luke, in this ninth chapter, verses 1 through 62, I encourage you to read it. It is comprised of two parts: the rejections of Jesus by most of the nations on his journey to Jerusalem, and second, Jesus' teachings. He's teaching his followers in view of that rejection. Jesus was not accepted by most of the nation. Therefore, he began, listen, to teach his followers how to live in the face of opposition. Jesus never promised us vacation. He never promised that. He never promised us an easy road. Well, if that being the case, why would Paul in Ephesians denote to put on the whole armor of God? What do you need armor for? The Christian life is a warfare. It is a subjective warfare with our personal selves. And not only with our personal selves, but in opposition to the world. But it is a warfare. So we're facing opposition. So, but he did say you will have peace in me. In the world, there will be some struggles. I'm just paraphrasing. And the kind of peace that Christians have is not the absence of trouble or difficulty, but it's the calmness in the midst of that shouting territory. Regardless of where you find yourself at, regardless of what you might be facing, there's some peace because we have the victory, I tell you, through Christ Jesus. I know who I serve. What about you? Yes, yes, yes. Woo, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Yes. Our text begins with Jesus being rejected by the Samaritan village. Of course, it was expected that the Samaritans would reject him, but that rejection set the pattern for what was to follow, and we just read it in this text. It is given that there was a lot of animosity between the upper class Jews and the subordinate Jew who were considered the Samaritans. Well, we do that now with ourselves. We have certain who are qualified and certain who are not qualified. We have sects in the church. Yeah. Oh, I'm preaching, sir. Yes. Yeah. It goes on. So it's not something new that is occurring. We have these divisions that we have among ourselves. Listen, a person who desires to follow Jesus must give up what others consider to be necessity. If you look at that third verse in that ninth chapter, listen, if you will, talking about giving up necessities. I'm not talking about giving up luxuries in life, but the essentials. Can you get your mind around that? But listen what Jesus says in that third verse. And he said unto them, and when he was charging his disciples to go out, he said, take nothing for your journey. You mean nothing? Yeah, literally nothing for your journey. Don't take no money. Don't take no food. Don't take nothing. Well, if you tell me that today, I tell you, I would struggle. I'd be trying to pack all kinds of bags, get all my little lunches together and everything else on this missionary journey for the Lord. Make sure you got plenty of money in the bank account and you're well and secured. And then I'm going to try and tell you to trust God. Watch out, Reverend Register. We don't think about those things, though, do we? Listen, number two, a disciple must be radically committed. Listen to what he says in that 23rd verse and a few of the followings there. He says unto those that were talking about following him, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, not my cross, but take up his cross and follow me. You see people carrying and wearing crosses around their neck. Well, I got news for you. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice, suffering. It is not an emblem of decoration or apparel. So, what cross are you carrying for the cause of Christ? Jesus went on to denote, thirdly, that his message of kingdom of God is urgent and more important than anything else. Have mercy, Lord. You got that? The urgency of the gospel. Jesus' journey to Jerusalem proceeded according to God's plan, not his, but God's plan. He had us to understand, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Yes, so Jesus recognized that he was on a mission. So Jesus was nearing his destiny of his mission, and that is death at Calvary. Yeah, look at Jesus, if you will. I just want you to get an understanding that turning back is not an option. Oh, I want to run on to the cross right now, but I'm trying to make this point, and I want to make it real clear. Luke's gospel uniquely emphasizes his journey to Jerusalem by recording much of Jesus' teachings and an example by contrasting his way of suffering with the way of the Jewish religious leaders. Although Jesus knew he would face persecution and death in Jerusalem, he was determined to pursue his destiny without hesitation. You got that? Regardless of the challenges and potential hazards that awaits us in this Christian journey, what is our ambition? What is our motivation? What is our destiny? Are we striving for the cause of Christ? Regardless of the opposition, following Jesus has a cause in each of us, especially, get this now, especially men, and men who profess to be messengers of God, appointed as leaders, listen, must be ready to serve, even when it calls for sacrifices. Yes, and Romans, listen, I love this, the book of Paul in Romans, that 12th chapter, it says to us, it has us, remind us, be not conformed to this world. Yeah, but you got too many preachers embracing the pulpit with a worldly attitude and worldly acquisition. They're striving for wealth. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Attitude for serving. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. So our text denotes that true discipleship requires instant action. God gives his son to make our new life possible. And we should joyfully give ourselves, listen, as living sacrifices for service. Now, in the time for true discipleship, especially when our nation's moral compass is distorted, this society suggests that we shift our religious values concerning the nature of sin, homosexuality, same-sex marriages. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Oh, some of y'all from old school, you know what I'm talking about. That was a powerful and famous song. We were hip-hopping and bebopping, and it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Yeah, I can't tell you. And I'm going to leave the rest out. Yes, but it was something that we have to be mindful of when you're looking at serving for the cause of Christ. Listen, now is the time for true discipleship, especially when our nation's moral compass is the way it is. You see, the church is under attack. Yes, it is. And has rejected the word of God, have been infiltrated with all kinds of strange doctrine, and men have given up their position of authority to women in homes, husbands refusing to be leaders, sending their wives to the front door when the tax collector or the debt collector or whatever comes to the door. I wish my wife would go to the door. Watch out, Vanita. Yeah. Be leaders in your home. I know I might be stepping on some toes, but in the church and the pulpit, we want somebody else with a skirt on to lead. Well, you know, Macedonia don't follow that concept. Listen, 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For a time is coming, from the New Living Translation. For a time is coming and is here when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. People talk about the pursuit of knowledge of God, but they don't want the knowledge of God. They just want power. They just want authority. They just want to be in a position of authority. They want a title. That's what we are. We big on titles, aren't we? Yeah, we do almost anything for a title. You can find these everywhere. Listen, in our homes, government, universities, and our local churches. They have no interest or respect for the infallible truth. They reject the truth for sensationalism. They accept viewpoints that suit their selfish desires. But in our text, Jesus warns his disciples that they must have a clear focus, not looking back or considering to turn back, but a clear focus on God's kingdom and recognizing that God's kingdom must be first. Jesus denoted in this text three key elements of focus. In his discourse in verses 57 and 58, the first man volunteered to follow Jesus without counting up the cost. He had enthusiasm without realistic conviction. Jesus informed him that he, being the Son of Man, did not have the comfort of an ordinary home because his destiny was not earthly. When the cares of this world is our priority, we become slaves to earthly values, and our expectation about life would be limited if this life is all we can see. Yes, earthly values. Secondly, it was an objective view. In that verses 59 and 60, the second man contemplated this great commission and elected to place family responsibility ahead of service for the cause of Christ. Jesus emphasized that a disciple must have a clear, I'm going to say that again, a clear objective in ministering for Christ. If your focus is distorted, your objective is distorted. You see, the love of the family is a law of God, but remember, your commitment to God is more important. Oh, well, we can argue about that, but you better read Matthew 10 and 37. Listen, finally, prioritizing the last man in verses 61 and 62. The third man made a commitment but wanted to go back home first to say goodbye to his family, not understanding or recognizing the urgency or the importance of discipleship. Yes, for the kingdom of God. You see, turning back is not an option. When serving Christ, prioritizing the things of this life may cause us to forfeit the best from Christ in this world and the world to come. What Jesus wants from us is total dedication, not half-hearted commitments. We must be progressive in building for the cause of Christ, building and promising future lives of hope and security, but turning back is giving up, yes, on the future and reliving the past. No, I don't want to do that. Please note, consider Israel's wilderness experience, if you will. If you know anything about the Bible, God says, go to the promised land. But when they met opposition, their first objective was to go back to slavery. I want to go back and get me some watermelons. Wait a minute, I'm hungry out here. I see God as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke. I see God part the Red Sea. But I'm going back to where I was in the same condition just for some watermelons. You see, turning back is a state of hopelessness and failure. Giving up on the promises that Jesus provides. Life, hope, and security. And returning to your previous state and condition, changing direction, rejecting life, going back into destitute, giving up on hope and accepting failure and ignoring security and choosing chaos. Listen at Jesus in the 14th chapter. In that first verse, Jesus offers the right direction and true matter concerning God and the absolute fullness of life. And he said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also. And the operative word is belief. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now who wants to turn back to their current condition and Now, Thomas asked a legitimate question when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. He wanted to know, how can we know the way? And we never been there. Good question. Jesus simply declares by divine declaration, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we must be willing to put things aside. So I like Paul's attitude in Philippians, that third chapter, verses 13 and 14. Paul encourages us that turning back is not an option. Paul declares, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, not just yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Listen what he says, I press, I'm committed towards progression. I'm pressing for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, I'm going to close now. I want to go on a little farther, but I have just a few things to say. I just want to say to you, because of Jesus' agony experience he had in Gethsemane, relating to our suffering was not difficult for him, for he recognized that the close of his journey was tedious and difficult. He was about to face a horrible crowd who on one occasion they celebrate his coming. But 7 days, well, 5-6 days later, they soon chose a thief over him, and they caused him to face horrible persecution. They whipped him all night long for you and I. But look at Jesus, I tell you, he's pressing on towards the mark. He didn't stumble. He didn't cry out. He didn't reject the punishment he received for the cause of humanity. But he suffered at the hands of his accusers. They whipped him all night long. They beat him and placed the crown of thorns upon his brow. But Jesus never said a mumbling word. Look at my Savior, I tell you, when they loaded him up with a cross and marched him up Golgotha's hill. He stumbled a little bit, but he kept pressing on for you and I. Look at Jesus, I tell you, surrendering his hands to the nails and his feet to the rivets on Calvary. They took him and stretched him out and lifted him up. Jesus hung there from the 6th to the 9th hour. He suffered on the cross. But oh, I tell you, when he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder, he cried, this is finished. He died. They took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. And I did say borrowed. When you borrow something, you're not going to keep it very long. He's going to give it back after a while. But oh, I tell you, on the 3rd day morning, he gave the grave back. He rose, I tell you, for you and I. He got up from the grave. The victory, I tell you, is in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. I'm reminded of a song, standing on the promises of Christ. Yes, yes. my King through eternal ages. Let his praises ring. Glory, oh glory, in the highest I will shout and sing. Yes, standing on the promises of God. Listen, saints, don't turn back. Don't give up on God. He's able to deliver us from whatever condition you're dealing with. He's able to keep us regardless what we might be facing. Yes, you might be dealing with some difficulties in your life, but keep looking to Jesus, I tell you. Keep trusting.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.